Welcome to the Elite Life Church podcast. We pray this message strengthens your faith and helps equip you for living the life God created you to live. Connect with us online at elitelife.church. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is truth. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. I ask that our love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so we're able to test and prove what is best, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Amen. Amen. I am who the word says that I am. I choose to do what the word says to do. And I have what the word says that I have. I choose to open my heart to receive everything the Lord has for me today. Last week, Christ in You, Part 1, I taught out of Colossians, Chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. We started the series with the three G's: grace at the root, gratitude in the heart, and growth that's visible. Colossians 1:6b, the latter half of it says, "All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood the grace of God." Now, while I didn't mention this last week, I thought about it, and I wanted to clarify this. When Paul says they truly understood the grace of God, that doesn't mean that they grasped the full depth of grace. It doesn't mean that they understood everything there is to know about grace. It doesn't mean they experienced every bit of the grace of the depth of the grace of God. What it means, they accurately recognize grace for what it is. What is grace? It's a free gift from God. They didn't have to earn to receive by faith. They understood that. So they were able to receive it because they understood it. The reason I mention that is I found in my walk with Christ, and we see throughout the word, that there are depths to the attributes of God. The grace of God has depth to it. There's different depth in understanding that grace. And the longer I'm born again, the longer I spend time getting to know God, the more I understand how deep that grace is. And I feel like I've barely scratched the surface, and I keep uncovering new bits of his grace in my life and understanding it at deeper levels. So truly understood the grace of God doesn't mean that you have to have every bit of knowledge about it. It just means you have to understand how to receive it. So last week, we saw that the same gospel that's bearing fruit and growing all over the world is bearing fruit in true believers. I said the gospel that saves is the gospel that grows. Colossians is a revelation of the supremacy and sufficiency of Christ. We saw last week that Christ is supreme in the gospel that bears fruit in all the world. It is because of the supremacy of Christ that the gospel is able to bear fruit all throughout the world, wherever the gospel is preached and received. Today, I'm teaching from Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 14. I'll be using the Berean Standard Bible again. I've titled today's message, "Rescued for a Reason." Let's read. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have full endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So let's break this down. There's two different sections here. You've got the prayer section, verses 9 to 12, where Paul is praying and explaining his prayer, saying what he prayed for. And then you've got the transfer section, where they were rescued and brought into the kingdom. Rescued from the dominion of darkness and brought into the kingdom of his beloved Son. So Paul had just finished thanking God. If you look at, he starts it, for this reason. For what reason? Well, last week, he was thanking God for the church, for the people, for the believers there. He was thanking God for them. And he was thanking God because all over the world, the gospel was bearing fruit and growing just as it had been doing among them since the day they heard it and truly understood the grace of God. So for that reason, because of those things, for that reason, tells us what he kept praying. Now, I want you to notice this because this is really cool. And it's helping me grow in my prayer life. Paul didn't pray for their circumstances. Think about how many times someone asks you to pray, and a lot of times it's based on what they're going through, their circumstances. But notice that wasn't Paul's prayer here. He didn't pray for their circumstances. He prays for their knowing, their understanding, their walking, conduct, their fruit, good works, their strength, their endurance and patience, their joyful thanks. We see in verses 13 and 14, the gospel in a sentence. Rescued from darkness, brought into the kingdom of his beloved Son, redeemed and forgiven. The very next verses after that tells us who this beloved Son is and what kind of king he is. But we're going to get to that in our next message. So going back to verse 9, I want to go into the prayer a little deeper here. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have full endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. I want you to see that Paul asked one request, knowing what that one request would produce. Paul asked God to fill them with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That was the request. So that, understanding, when we have knowledge of God's will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, when we understand that, then out of the knowing comes the worthy walk, the fruit, the growth, the strength, the endurance, the patience, and joyful thanks. It starts with knowing, not doing. Many times new believers want to start with a doing. Okay, tell me what I have to do. When we go to start with the doing without the knowing, we end up frustrated because we start to do things in our own strength and we can't. You can't live life in the spirit by natural ability, by natural ability. trying, striving. And I spent many years very frustrated trying to do just that because I focused on the doing without focusing as much time on the knowing. But notice Paul makes it clear, the knowing comes first, then the doing, so that right believing comes before right living. The walk flows from being filled with a knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. This prayer sounds really familiar, doesn't it? Because Paul prayed a very similar prayer that we actually pray at the beginning of every message. He prayed it for the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Paul said there, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to test and prove what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." In these prayers, it's knowing. It's an understanding. Philippians says it's testing and proving what is best. I can tell you from personal experience, some of the most difficult decisions in life are not the decisions between good and bad, between godly and ungodly, between right and wrong. I mean, those decisions can be difficult, but once we choose to make Jesus the Lord of our life and we choose to do what the word says to do, some things become pretty clear. There are certain things that we're just not supposed to do. And yes, we need to use the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our life to walk that out and not walk by the flesh, but walk by the Spirit. So there is that, but it's not the same kind of struggle as when you're not sure what the will of God is in an area. And those situations come up when it comes down to good versus best. And that all of us have choices to make in life, good versus best. Lord, what am I supposed to do here? Lord, am I supposed to marry this person? Lord, am I supposed to take this career? Lord, am I supposed to do this thing? Lord, am I supposed to move here or here? Lord, what am I supposed to do? Some of those decisions are not so easy because it's not so clear cut. The word doesn't spell it out for us. So that's where learning to hear the voice of God, learning to tune in to the Spirit of God on the inside of you and follow his leading becomes really helpful. Meg and I recently had a decision to make on something that was really good. And we actually started moving forward with it. The word tells us to test and prove. We started moving into that direction and moving in that direction with something. But the further we went into the room, the less comfortable we felt deep in our spirit. In the natural, it looked amazing. In the natural, it made total sense. Everything lined up. It even looked like some things lined up spiritually. Timing and everything else made lots of sense. But there was a growing uneasiness deep inside. We've walked with the Lord long enough to recognize when I have that growing uneasiness, I don't want to just press past it. I want to spend some time praying in the Spirit, praying, thinking, asking the Lord for wisdom on it, continuing to move forward in that direction or continuing to pause, whatever direction it may be, but really pressing in to saying, Lord, I need to hear from you in this situation. And sometimes when it's good versus best, we don't get a clear-cut answer. Sometimes it's not a you have to do this or you can't do this. Sometimes it's not a shut door. And those opportunities I found are the most difficult because it's like, Lord, what is the answer here? And it goes back to a message that I taught quite a while back in my Hearing the Voice of God series. I think it's part 3, 4, 5, somewhere in there, but it's called The Peace Principle. That's the name of the message, The Peace Principle. But it builds off Colossians 3:15, which says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, for to this you were called as members of one body, and be thankful. letting the peace of God rule in your heart. When you start to lose that peace, when you start to feel that questioning. Now, there is a natural peace and an unnatural peace. There's a peace where you go, man, it makes sense. It totally makes sense, but I just don't know why I'm not at peace with this. That's the kind of peace I'm talking about, where you have to go with it. And then when you, in your mind, you go, okay, if I make this other decision, how's that? I'm like, okay, now I make another decision. I'm terrified because in the natural, it doesn't seem like the right decision, but inside I feel peace. That's so important to understand. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That peace of God surpasses our natural understanding. It surpasses our reasoning. In this particular situation, my reasoning is screaming, you can't make that decision. That's going to be horrible. Don't not go forward with this. But in the spirit, I'm feeling restless. And a little knowing that it's not God's best. And when we make decisions, we stay humble. And if we have to change those decisions because we figure out that, you know what, I need to change things, be humble to follow whatever you feel the leading of the Spirit is. And here's the key. I've gotten stuff wrong before. We can move forward with something and figure out we've got it wrong. We can switch course and figure out we got it wrong. But ultimately, it's choosing to follow that peace, even when we don't understand it, that we found to be valuable in following after God. Understand the knowledge of his will at the end of the day isn't head knowledge. It's a renewed mind that can follow the peace of God even when everything in the natural is pointing in a different direction. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Paul prays almost the same prayer that he prayed for the church at Colossae and Philippi over the believers in Ephesus. Notice how Paul put it here in Ephesians 1:15-21. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in your knowledge of him. I ask that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know the hope of his calling, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and the surpassing greatness of his power to us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in the present age, but also in the age to come. Look back at Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. So that you may walk, so that you may walk. So we've received a revelation, or are growing in a revelation of the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that we may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. So we don't have to have a full capacity. It's a continual growing in the knowledge of God, but we get moving forward with the knowledge of God that we have. So when it says walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, worthy doesn't mean that you've earned it. He's already qualified believers. to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. We saw that in verse 12. It means that you're living out of your true identity by faith in truth. You walk it out daily, no matter how you feel. You choose to walk worthy of what God says about you. Ephesians 5, 8 through 10, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." Verse 10, "Test and prove what pleases the Lord." And where's the power for our daily life come from? Look back at our passage. Notice verse 11. But we're going to start back at verse 9 again. "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God." Verse 11, "being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have full endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light." See the "so that" in verse 11? Because we're strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, not according to our might. This is why it's so important that we don't try to get to the doing without the knowing. We live under condemnation. We live in frustration. We've got to press into the knowing, press into the relationship, get to know our Father, get to know who we are in Christ. Now, we can do based on whatever level of knowledge we know, but you don't try to do it in your own strength, by your own power. You do it by his glorious might. Ephesians 3, 16 and 17 says, "I ask that out of the riches of his glory, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Then you, being rooted and grounded in love," the strength to stand, get this, the strength to stand comes from where you're planted, from your roots, from who you're planted in, from Christ. Colossians 2, 6 to 7. "Therefore, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thanksgiving." Going back to our text, verse 12, Colossians 1, 12, "giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light." Again, I titled today's message, "Rescued for a Reason." We see first the reason in this passage, and then next, in verses 13 and 14, we see the rescue. One of the reasons that we're rescued is because in God's grace, he's qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. We've also been rescued to bear fruit for his glory. Believers have been rescued for a reason. Now let's go ahead and look at our rescue, and more importantly, learn about the character of our rescuer, thereby growing in our knowledge of God. Verses 13 and 14, we start talking about the transfer that takes place. Colossians 1, 13 and 14. "He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his beloved Son." Some translations say transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. He has brought us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is why we can give thanks. We were the ones rescued. God did the rescuing. There's only two kingdoms listed because there's only two kingdoms. You're either part of one kingdom or the other. You're never part of both. You're either rescued or you're not. There's no neutral ground. A lot of Christians live like there's some third option out there. There's not. A lot of people that think they're Christians live like there's a third option out there. Look what Jesus said about the power of darkness as he was being arrested and put to death. Luke 22, verse 53, Jesus said, "Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me, but this hour belongs to you and to the power of darkness." The power of darkness was the one behind Jesus being crucified. This darkness isn't a new thing. Listen to how the Old Testament pictured people before God reached out to them and rescued them. Watch what he did about it. Psalm 107, verses 10 to 14. "Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and chains, because they rebelled against the word of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. He humbled their hearts with hard labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke away their chains." This is the same thing Jesus told Paul his whole ministry would be about. Acts 26, 17 and 18. "I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I'm sending you to them." Verse 18, here it is. "To open their eyes so they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those sanctified by faith in me." Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's the whole transfer in one sentence. Don't miss what you were before the rescue. Paul said it in Ephesians 2, 1 through 6. "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you used to walk, when you conformed to the ways of this world and the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit who is now at work in the sons of disobedience. All of us also lived among them at one time, fulfilling the cravings of our flesh and indulging its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature children of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ when we were dead in our trespasses. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms." Colossians 1, 13 and 14 says, "He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Look at what we have in whom. In whom is the beloved Son. We have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That word redemption is a Greek word that means to release. It means a release secured by the payment of a ransom, deliverance, redemption, such as a slave bought out of the market and set free. Paul says it over in Ephesians 1, 7, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. This redemption doesn't just release you. It's not just releasing and setting you free. It's way better. It ends in adoption. He bought us out of slavery so he could bring us in as sons. Galatians 4, 4 through 7. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive our adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, you're also an heir through God. We're going to dive pretty deep on this in a few weeks, but I want to jump over here in chapter 2, Colossians 2, verses 13 and 15, real quick, so you can see this. See what that transfer looked like. Our debt canceled. The powers that held us captive were disarmed. We were freed. Colossians 2, 13 to 15. When you were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our trespasses, having canceled the debt ascribed to us and the decrees that stood against us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. It was the cross. That was the mechanism that God used. The rescue from the dominion of darkness cost Jesus dying on his cross. The power that ran the kingdom of darkness were disarmed right there. That is why we have authority as believers over the powers of darkness as long as we use the authority that God has given us in Christ. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples. He has the authority. We get to step in and use his authority as we're walking in our true identity. A few minutes ago, I read Ephesians 5, 8 through 10, but I want to show you the next verse. Going back to verse 8, though, it says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Test and prove what pleases the Lord. Verse 11, have no fellowship with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. The NIV says for Ephesians 5:11, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. That is the reason that I don't like certain kinds of entertainment. Certain music, games, TV shows, music, movies. Why don't I like certain kinds of things? Because it's not in line with our identity in Christ. It's not in line with who we are in the kingdom of God. It's going over and playing with the enemy instead of wanting to rescue those that are trapped in bondage. It's making light of the darkness that traps so many people in bondage, that destroys marriages, that destroys lives, that destroys people in every way, shape, and form. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came to give us life and life in abundance. Amen. From John 10:10. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, to proclaim the virtues of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. 1 Thessalonians 5, 4 to 5 says, but you, brothers, are not in the darkness so that this day should overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or the darkness. And Revelation 1, 5, and 6 says, "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has released us from our sins by his blood, who has made us to be a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen." Thank you, Jesus. We have been rescued from the dominion of darkness and brought into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. In closing, I want to go back to verse 13, Colossians 1, 13 and 14. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 1, 27 says, "To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Here's where the transfer is headed. Paul tells us in chapter 3 that we have been raised with Christ, and our life is now hidden in him, and one day we're going to appear with him in glory. Let's look at this. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. "Therefore, since you have been raised with Christ, strive for the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." We know from chapter 2, verse 10, that we're complete in Christ. We were carried out of darkness into the Son's kingdom with redemption and forgiveness of sins. As we go about our week, as you go about your week, and every week hereafter, I want to encourage you to walk worthy of the King who brought you into his kingdom. Be filled with the knowledge of his will. Lean on his glorious strength, not your own. And choose to give thanks like someone who's been freed from cruel slavery. Imagine how you would give thanks, how you would live your life, if you'd spent all your life up to a certain point in cruel slavery to an oppressive master, and you were set free. Now, you might go back and try to rescue some other people that are still in slavery there without getting caught up in it, but you wouldn't go back and hang out there. You wouldn't go back and put the shackles back on and put the chains back on and let the enemy abuse you like that. No, you wouldn't. So don't do that as you're going about your life, dabbling in darkness, dabbling in things that are part of the world. Set your mind on the things above. Now, maybe you're listening to me today, and you know you're still on the wrong side of that line. Maybe you know you're still in bondage to the powers of darkness. Here's the good news. The same God who rescued the Colossians, the same God who rescued believers today, is rescuing believers, is reaching for you. He does the rescuing. You don't clean yourself up first. You don't think, "I got to make myself ready to come to him." You come. John 3, 16 and 17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The album art for this series is a door open with light streaming through into the room, brightening the room because of the light coming in. The God who said, let light shine out of darkness, wants to shine that light into your heart as you're hearing my voice. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 6 says, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brothers at once, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. In Romans 10, 9 through 13, says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with your heart you believe and are justified, and with your mouth you confess and are saved. It's just as the scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there's no difference between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and gives richly to all who call on him. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you want free today, I'm going to give you a sample prayer here that you can repeat or choose to say it in your own words. It's not so much the words that matter. It's the heart attitude to call out to God and ask for his salvation. Heavenly Father, I acknowledge that I've sinned against you and I'm in need of your grace. I choose to surrender my life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I believe in my heart that he died for my sins and that you raised him from the dead. Thank you, Father, for saving me, for forgiving me, and for giving me eternal life. I receive the gift of your Holy Spirit to empower me to obey your word and live the life you created me to live in truth and holiness. Fill me with your love and help me grow in my relationship with you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Believers, I want to challenge you. If you've been living like you're still in the old kingdom, fearful, striving, joyless, dabbling in sin, repent, turn from that, and start living from the rescue. For you have been rescued for a reason. Stop going back. Live out of that joy. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this message today. Father, I thank you so much, and I give you praise that we are rescued for a reason. Father, I thank you that you keep that on the forefront of our mind all throughout this week, Lord, and all throughout the rest of our life, Lord. As we go about our life, we remember what you've done for us, and we live out of that position, out of that place that you've given us in your kingdom, Father. Father, I thank you that you help us be agents bearing fruit by sharing the gospel, just like Epaphras did, and shared the gospel with those around him. We talked about that last week, Lord. I thank you that we choose to share the good news of your kingdom and the freeing power of your Holy Spirit to those around us. Father, I thank you for each and every person that's chosen today to repent of whatever it is, Lord, that you've brought up to them. Lord, I thank you that it's by your power that we walk out that repentance. I thank you, Father, we stay plugged into your word. We stay growing in our knowledge of you, Father, growing in your truth. I thank you, Father, for everyone listening to this voice, Father. I ask that you fill them with the knowledge of your will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Father, I thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This is Pastor Tim Howe. Thank you for listening. For additional resources to help you live an elite life, visit EliteLifeMinistries.com.